Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Dr. Jessica Kriegel is the Chief Strategy Officer with Culture Partners. She is a podcast host. She is a keynote speaker. She is an author. Welcome back to the show, Jessica.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, excited to have you back on. Refresh our memory. Tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, I live in Sacramento, California, and I am the Chief Strategy Officer of Culture Partners, which is a workplace culture consulting firm. And so we've been around for 35 years helping drive results by activating your culture. I mean, that we believe that companies can drive results with the greatest lever that they have at their disposal, which is the hearts and minds of the people that work there. And that is ultimately culture. We think that culture is how people think and act to get results. And so, you know, I feel that I'm an evangelist on a mission to help educate that culture is not about ping pong tables. It's not about kombucha in the break room. It's not about whether you're in the office or whether you're working from home or, you know, all of these other perks and buzzwords that you hear about in the media. It's really about, do your employees care about what you're trying to accomplish? And are they going to help you get there? And, you know, I feel privileged to be able to do that kind of work. And so the particular focus that I have is doing research to understand what are these best practices, going around the world and doing keynotes, talking to companies, talking to leaders at conferences to help spread the word about what they can do, and talking to the media so that we can really educate.
How people think and act. That is, I think, just so brilliant in its simplicity, and that really does sum up what how to create a great culture, really what it is. How long did it take you to figure that out?
Well, I didn't figure it out. I think it was figured out by the founders of the company that I work for now. I was a keynoter. You know, I wrote a book 10 years ago about generational dynamics at work. That's what I figured out because I was studying the differences between millennials and baby boomers. And I realized that there's so, there's so much fake news out there about like what's true and what's not about different generations. And my data dispelled a lot of the myths that we seem to perpetuate, especially in the media. So I wrote a book about it, and that turned into a keynote career, which I wasn't really trying to build. I just gave a keynote somewhere, and then someone there asked me to come to another one, and then someone there asked me to come to another one, and then the rest is history. And then after about, must have been 8 years of talking about millennials and baby boomers and the stereotypes and how we have to stop doing that, I was getting hired by all of those clients to help them change the existing beliefs in their company about the generations that were getting in the way of them driving results. And so I was sort of a consultant, but I was a solopreneur. You know, I was really just doing keynotes. And then every once in a while, I would take a consulting client if it was a juicy enough project. And but Culture Partners was started 35 years ago by the authors of The Oz Principle. And they really built the company on the back of that book. And then it was, I guess it was 3 years ago now, that the CEO of that company, those founders sold the company a long time ago and sold it to private equity. The private equity firm brought in the CEO that they had success with at a couple other firms. And then he and I met and he said, oh my goodness, you and I have the same way of thinking about how to shift beliefs. Because really, the thinking and acting thing, leaders are really good at telling people how to act different. You know, like it's what everyone does. It's 101, like do this, now do that, right? But the really incredible leaders that drive transformative results aren't that fabulous at getting people to shift how they think. And that's really where the magic happens. And so we focus on how to get people to shift their thinking. And that's really what I was doing. You know, I was shifting people's thinking about generational dynamics and then ultimately at work. And so we saw the synchronicities between our approaches and what we were doing. And so he bought my consulting business and I joined as chief strategy officer, and the rest is history.
Nice. So shifting beliefs. Well, let me take another step back. People think that if we just get up in front of our employees and say, start doing this instead, now do that, without necessarily addressing what it is that they're thinking, that we're just doing half the job, or maybe even less than half the job.
We're maybe doing negative job, you know? I mean, so like, I'll give you a simple example. You've got a sales leader and he's got 10 guys reporting into him. I'm saying he, because most of these salespeople are men, right? So you got a sales leader and he's got 10 guys reporting into them and they're selling some kind of SaaS subscription license to whatever B2B business. Okay. And the sales leader says he knows that in order to drive bookings, which is the goal, he's got to get people on the phone, right? You got to be out there hustling. You got to go find the clients, call the people. You got to have conversations with them. You have to understand their challenges. You got to track those challenges, those conversations in Salesforce. You got to get back on the phone. You got to be persistent. And then eventually you're going to get bookings, right? So that's, I mean, think of your average sales leader. That's what he's spending all of his time doing. Did you make the call? How many calls did you make? Did you track the calls? Did you put the calls in Salesforce? How are your calls doing? What's your pipeline looking like? Did you have AI listen to the calls so that we can see how your calls can get better? And then did you implement what AI told you we should do on the next call? I mean, all of that is action focused. It's like, did you do it? Are you going to do it? Did you do it? Could you do more of it? And that is not only an annoying, right, for the salesperson, but it's exhausting for the sales leader. I mean, and it's not only, and it's going to lead to burnout, but it's not just going to burn out the salesperson. It's going to 10 times burn out the sales leader because he's got 10 other people he's got to make those questions happen with, right? So what we do is we get those leaders to zoom out. Like, okay, we understand Salesforce is important. We understand that making the calls is important and the AI bot is important. But like, can you get those salespeople to believe it's important and to understand the why and get them to actually give a hoot about the things that you care about so that they're going to proactively be getting on the phones. They're going to be tracking in Salesforce. They're going to be figuring out which AI bot is best because they and you have the same beliefs and you're aligned. You have clarity on what needs to happen. You're aligned on what needs to happen. And then you're accountable for what needs to happen. And when you approach the problems that way, you get transformative growth because the first way is the way everyone's doing it and it can work. And it does work. I mean, you see it working everywhere, right? But it, like the people who are getting the 4X growth, those are the people who are really thinking about the beliefs rather than just the actions.
Which makes a ton of sense. And I certainly have worked over the course of my career with some of those organizations. And I've done those things that the sales leader that you described did. And I experienced the same burnout that sales leader described, trying to push a rope or whatever it is, because I was not taking into consideration the thinking and the beliefs and the purpose. So how do I know what they're thinking? How do I know what their beliefs are?
Well, you got to ask them. And you know, it's not so much about figuring out what their beliefs are as it is figuring out what the beliefs need to be. And that's where I think a lot of culture consulting firms, or you know, even management consulting firms, or just any consultants, we get such a bad rap because most of us are really bad. And, you know, what they will do is they'll go into a company, they get their hooks in some leader somewhere that's willing to write a check, they'll say, okay, great, I'm going to go do an analysis and figure out what's going on in your company. And they'll interview everyone and they'll do focus groups and they'll do surveys. And all the questions are intended to dig up dirt. What's not working here? What's broken? What would you do differently? You know, what could be improved? And so they get all of this data and then they throw it all into ChatGPT to synthesize the themes. And then they get out a report that they send to the leader and they say, hey, here's the 10 things that are broken, but we're just going to prioritize on these first three things or six things. And it's going to cost you low price of $10 million. I can fix this, right? You create a sense of fear in your client that everything's going to fall apart and that you can fix it just by digging up the drama. And it's such a disservice. So we don't do that. What we do is we say, a leader, you know, talks to us about needing to drive results. And we're like, okay, what is it you're trying to accomplish? Show us what the goal is. And we get that goal, you know, well, we need to double our income, or we need to diversify into this portfolio. We need to, you know, whatever it is. And then we say, okay, great. What beliefs do your team need to hold in order to drive those results? And what beliefs may be getting in the way of us driving those results? So we go straight to the beliefs that we need to get to. And it's very aspirational. It's not about a bunch of drama. It's about the goal, you know, it's about the future and the vision. And then we go into the organization at scale, at all levels, from the ground to the middle managers, to the VPs, to the executives, and we reinforce the right.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Keep your family safe with help from Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde home safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Kidde detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and give fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Check out all our Kidde safety products and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The right behaviors that need to happen that will instill those beliefs and drive those beliefs. And so where do beliefs come from? They come from experiences, right? I had an experience. I worked at Oracle for 10 years. I had an experience there with my manager, with my peers, with the town hall communications, with every interaction, with all the emails. Those were all experiences that led me to the belief I had about the work I was doing, the value the company had to the world, you know, all of it. And so you have to create the right experiences to drive the right beliefs. And so we're empowering people with the skills to do that. You have to recognize people when they show up demonstrating the right beliefs. You have to give feedback when people are not demonstrating the right beliefs. You have to tell stories of how those beliefs are growing and the impact it's having on the key results. And doing all those things is creating the experiences that will reinforce the beliefs, and then it becomes the self-fulfilling prophecy.
I love everything about that. It makes perfect sense. Is it, but I guess it's not obvious, because it's, maybe it's not even intuitive. Is it obvious or intuitive? Did y'all just figure it out? People want this. They don't know how to do it.
It's like one of those things that's totally commonsensical once it's explained to you. But I would argue that it's not intuitive, because intuitively people are out there telling everybody what to do. I mean,
right. We
call it the action trap, right? We know results come from actions. So we focus on telling people to take action. That's intuitive. But that is the action trap that gets you not just burnout, right? I mean, it's easy to say burnout, but it's also uninspiring. It's also, you know, soulless. I mean, I like to care about the work that I do. people don't care when their bosses are in the action trap. It just feels like you're on the rat race or hamster wheel of business results. And it's like, why do I care? I mean, everyone's out there talking about purpose-driven work. And, you know, now what you've got is a whole bunch of people doing the motions of driving purpose-driven work, which is, let's get a mission statement, folks. And then we'll repeat the mission statement over and over again. And then your mission statement is written by a bunch of tech executives in a boardroom that are on a retreat in Napa, facilitated by an overpriced guy who's basically, you know, you walk out of the room and you've got something like, our mission is to accelerate digital transformation for stakeholders everywhere. Something is like, what? Who cares? Like, not even the people who wrote that thing care about that, right? So you got to work harder to like find a purpose that speaks to who we are as people. So for example, at Culture Partners, when I joined, our purpose was to achieve $100 million in revenue by 2025. And I walked in and I was like, I don't care. Sorry. Like, wait, if we get $100 million, am I getting $20 million? Or like, why would I care about, like, we're private equity backed. Like, why would I care? The only people that care about that are the private equity firms, you know, and I'm an executive. So I'm sorry if I'm breaking the executive seal of silence where I'm supposed to act like the money matters, but it really doesn't, right? So we had to flip that on its head and figure out, like, how is what we do making the world a better place? And it wasn't hard to find because, I mean, if you've been listening to this conversation, like what we're doing is changing the hearts and minds of people at work. And that is important because I'm a person with a heart and mind at work. And I know that if my heart and mind were shifted positively, that would impact me in a profound way. And that would not just matter to the business results and the bottom line, but I would probably close my laptop at 5 p.m. in a better mood and then go out to my, with the rest of my house where my children and family are, right? And I would be in a better mood. And that would be actually important to me. So we're really impacting lives. And then we realize, well, that's really the purpose, is impacting lives. And so now we know that we want to be able to measure whether or not we're successful. And if $100 million was the goal, well, can we figure out how many lives would be impacted if we actually got $100 million? And the number of lives based on our pricing model and our, you know, the way that it works is it's about 5 million people. So now our purpose is to impact 5 million lives in 2025. And that's like so much more meaningful to me. And I think everyone else at the company, because it's not about making money for a private equity firm. It's about impacting lives. And in the work that I do every day, like when I'm talking to you right now, this is my job, right? And you've got X number of listeners. So add them to the list of lives that we've hopefully impacted. If any of your listeners take something I said today, and then they're like, okay, we're going to go do something differently about the way that I show up as a leader, and their team is a little bit happier for it. Well, now I do feel like I'm doing something that's purposeful. So we have to do purpose with purpose, not just do purpose so that it's checked, a box that's checked.
Talking about purpose just for the sake of purpose. Yeah. I can certainly see where that's falling into a trap as well. I love the action trap because we all do know that results are the byproduct of action. But going back to our sort of original conversation, just telling people to make more calls or set more appointments or whatever it might be, it's just, it's a fool's errand.
Yeah. And you see it really make a difference, especially in times of transformation. I mean, big secret is we're kind of like a change management company, right? Because usually no one calls us and says, we need your help with our culture because everything's toxic here. Companies with toxic culture don't spend money on culture, right? Like everyone who calls us is like, we got a great culture, but we're now going to do this merger and acquisition, and we need to help to intentionally nurture the culture that we need to now co-create together. Or we're doing this actual huge digital transformation, and we need people to get on board with it, or, you know, something is happening and people who already care about culture are wanting to leverage that tool to drive better results. And so you see people having a reason, you know, when you have a reason and something that's important, then you can kind of point that energy in the right direction.
I think it strikes me that we're all in change management. I'm in change management for myself because my life is always changing and my preferences are changing and just the season of life that I'm in and certainly organizations. And if I'm in a leadership position and I have employees or I'm a sales leader and I've got salespeople, it seems that in doing this, it could be one of the greatest things that I can do for the people that are relying on me. And then in so doing that, the org, and then the people that we're actually serving in the form of our clients or customers.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely true. Think about it, right? I mean, we're all on a journey to not be complete, jerks mm-hmm. on the planet.
For sure.
And we got to figure out how to be of service. And we are by nature selfish people. And it takes work. It takes active work to be not self-centered, to not think about yourself. And then when you wake up in the morning, do you think about yourself? And then if you're done with breakfast, then do you keep thinking about yourself? Like, yeah, everyone does. Like, I'm not waking up thinking about your breakfast. I'm thinking about my breakfast, right? So like, we're in our own minds thinking about ourselves all the time. And great leadership requires thinking about others. You know, how can I give away credit rather than take credit? How can I have a difficult conversation that will make me uncomfortable, but ultimately be better off for this person? You have to constantly push yourself. And so, yeah, the more work you do on yourself, the easier that comes. And it is natural for some people more than others. Like, I interview CEOs for my podcast, and I can just tell the people who are like born a little bit less selfish than others, right? And why is that? Is it a DNA thing? Is it because of their parents? You know, I can give you my theory, but what do I know? I'm not a psychologist, but it just feels easier for some people. So if you happen to be one of those people that think it's completely natural to think about yourself all day long, here's the newsflash that that's not actually totally natural. And like, you have to work on that if you want to be a better leader.
Yeah. Well, I love it. Well, Jessica, we could talk all day, but thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can people engage?
Well, thank you. Well, my website is jessicakriegel.com. If you want to book me for a keynote or reach out for any reason, I'm available there. I also have a newsletter on LinkedIn, which is called This Week in Culture. It comes out every Friday. And if you want to learn more about Culture Partners, it's culturepartners.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Jessica your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to jessicakriegel.com, JessicaKriegel.com, and check out everything that Jessica and I have been talking about today. Go to culturepartners.com and continue that exploration there. And then sign up for Jessica's newsletter, This Week in Culture, which is on LinkedIn. Thanks again, Jessica.
Thanks so much for having me.
And until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.